creators. Lord of all systems of knowledge. Lord of all the worlds. We witness that God is one for all of his creation and all of his people. We bear witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is his messenger and the last of the prophets and a mercy to all the worlds. That Muhammad, the prophet, was sent by God to be kind and considerate to all of humanity. Special thanks and appreciation to Leadership Excellence Imam W. Dean Muhammad.
With peace, the greetings of peace, assalamu alaikum. We Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Praises for God, the Lord Keeper, Sustainer of all the worlds. We witness that He is the Creator, God alone. There is no partner with Him. And we witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed over 14 centuries ago, is His servant and His messenger, and the last of the seal of the prophets. We greet Him with the salutation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the prayers and the peace be upon Him. We're going to be very thankful to Allah for our presence again here in Newark, New Jersey. And I'm very pleased to see you gathered here, beautiful spirit and beautiful appearance and beautiful numbers. We're about to fill the place up here. I thank Allah. Yeah. We're addressing the life of a Muslim. When you read the Gospel, the New Testament, it is about life. And if we understand the message of the Quran, it is the message of life, a message of life. And if you understand our prayer, it is an answer or a fulfillment of the prayer of Jesus Christ, peace be upon Him, called the Lord's Prayer. Like, kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The coming of the order of God for human beings on the earth. An order that gives room for the full expression of the life God created when He created humanity or human being. It is not the world that gives us the abundance of life as is given in Scripture, both in the Bible and in the Quran. Abundance. God says to Muhammad, Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. Surely we have bestowed upon you abundance. Abundance. It's not the world that gives us that. It's the revelation of God. God reveals the light that enables us to have, that enables us to have that. And the Western world would not have it had not they themselves had fine leaders who had pure souls and wanted to see all people treated fairly and have the opportunity to have life and enjoy it, or have it in abundance as God willed or created the world and human being. When we look at the world today, after the great superpower, Russia, lost its place as a superpower, we see the world of the people of the book leading all the rest of the world. People of the book, the people of the Bible, are leading all the other people. And we know from them, from their history, that they were sleeping. They were sleeping on their knowledge. They didn't even know their own knowledge. They had lost the real perception of their own knowledge. That is the Bible, New Testament and Old Testament. But when Muhammad the Prophet began to preach the Quran and lead by example. They were inspired, and their intellectual life was revived. And their scientists learned from Muslim scientists, and they were able to regenerate life, civilization for themselves. It was because of Islam. Now they are leading, and the Muslims are trailing, or the Muslims are stagnant. That is, they're not going forward. Not as a people, not as a religious people, they are not going forward. But isn't this the way of God? Isn't this what he tells us in the scripture? That if a people fail to keep their promise to him, he will take it off of them and give it to another people. So God is not obligated to keep to an agreement that he made with an agreement breaker, a contract breaker. Certainly you had a contract until you broke it. So we should, before we even seek to go forward with our lives in this world, we should seek to understand this world. Understand what has happened to Muslims in the world. And understand why God allows and seems to help non-Muslims. Because the non-Muslims have been more charitable to mankind than the Muslim. The non-Muslim have been more helpful to mankind than the Muslim in these recent decades, or in these recent centuries.
Right.
So we should not feel bad, we should feel good. Because we live in a new time and in a new situation. We should be thankful to Allah that we're not over there with them. Thank Allah that we are with the people that at least earn God's protection.
That's right.
Because they are doing for humanity what Allah ordered Muslims to do. And be thankful that we have a new star. A star to be born again as a people, not as one soul, not as an individual repenting, but we have the chance to be born again as a people. In a way, we like those two boys in the story of how the Romans became a nation. They were left without parents. Weren't our children left on the plantation without parents? If they had parents, the parents could not exercise any parental authority. The slave master was the boss. He was the head of the household, the head of the family, and everything else. If he chose to, he would take the boys along with the one mother and send them across the land to another slaveholder. And if we see our parents in the sense of history, then all of us lost our parents, because we had no connection with our history. We were separated from our history. We were separated from our traditions as a people. And the little that we could recall was just due to nature, or what they call genetics, genetic memory. We had no conscious connection with our past traditions, our past life. And it was presented to us to make us hate it. didn't have to ask for somebody from slavery to tell you how it was. I know how it was. As a young boy in my teens, I would go to the movies. And practically every picture we would see about Africa was a picture showing savages, not civilized people. And the Tarzan movies showed a retarded white man leading animals and black folks of the continent of Africa. How could we respect our past when we were cut off from it and the only picture shown to us of it was a picture that was degrading? A picture of subhuman people. So we had nothing, no other way but to admire the white man for his achievements, for his accomplishments, for his greatness, for his civilization.
That's right.
That was intentional. And unintentionally, that was during the ugly time of segregation, discrimination, mistreatment of the race, the African American people in this country and in the world. The point is, we have a new chance, a new chance. We have a chance to be born again as a people. Scripture says, let us cut their bands asunder so that they be a people no more. Now, this is Scripture.
That's right.
So if the idea is in Scripture, then it has happened before, or it can happen. So you should accept what I'm telling you. The band that banded us, the tie. Bands means ties that put things together. The tie of the band that held us together with our past life on the continent, on the mother continent, Africa, was cut asunder. Okay. But that's not the limit of the cutting of our bands. Slavery also cut the family ties, made them of no effect, because you were not under the authority of your parents. Unless the white man approved of it, the master approved of it. And he would not let a black man have any manhood in his family. He saw that the black man did not have any manhood in his family. He would come and treat the black man just like he was a child of the woman. This is history. I've read these things myself. And the same thing the English did to the Irish. That's what made me, my heart went out to the Irish that are being persecuted by the English people. White man come into the house. He asked your wife, how's everything? Not you.
That's right. Go ahead. Go on, man.
Girl, everything all right here?
Yeah.
So she was put in charge of the family by the slave master.
Oh, yeah.
The way he spoke to her, told her that he regarded her as the boss in that house, not the man. A man is afraid of a man.
Right.
A man is not afraid of a woman that he can get to. And he didn't have to get to our woman. He owned her, just like he owned us.
Come on, come on.
I think that is plain, brother. It's all good, brother. Give me that old Islam. That's exactly what I'm giving you. That's exactly what I'm giving you. If you know Islam, that's what Islam is to restore people back to the dignity and honor and good life that God created them for. And that's what I'm doing, buddy. This is Islam. I used to hear my father say, may God give him paradise. Islam is freedom, justice, and equality. That's what he said. And I was nothing but a boy, maybe younger than 8 years old when I was hearing that, and older as I went on, but I can recall hearing it when I had to kind of pull myself up to sit on one of those chairs there, so you know how small I was. I couldn't just sit down in a chair. I couldn't walk to the chair and turn around and sit down there. I had to pull myself up on that chair. And I remember my father saying that. He used to say it all the time. Every time he spoke, he would say, Islam is freedom, justice, and equality. And he would start every meeting out, surely I've turned myself to thee, O Allah, who originated the heavens and the earth. He didn't say a man. No, surely I've turned myself to thee, O Allah, who originated the heavens and the earth, and I'm not of the polytheists. That's the way he would open up. So we who are still here, we ain't going nowhere. We came in right. Yes, we came in right. But those who came in during the turbulent 60s, they came in for black power, for black recognition. They came in for money and power. They could not save this for the future.
That's right.
Thank Allah for you all who stayed here. We save it for all of them. Yes. So we have a chance to be reborn as a people. I'm not just saying this. I'm sure they recorded most of the talks that I gave or speeches I gave ever since I became a minister. I was a student minister, an assistant, and then I was made an assistant to the minister in Chicago who was under my father. And later, he sent me to Philadelphia. That was the first time I became a resident imam, a resident minister, didn't use the term imam, a resident minister, the minister of that particular temple. That was the first time I was on my own as a minister. And I was there for about 3 years. And as I said, most of my talks were recorded, or the speeches I gave were recorded. And I said back then that we are no more the same people that were on the continent of Africa. A whole new people have been born on these new shores, America, in America, without me having connection with the past life that we had as Africans. How can we live the life of an African? Impossible. So we live the life of our soul. That's why they call us soul people, soul brother. White man put that on TV because he said, yeah, I agree with you. That's what you are. You're soul folks.
That's right.
And we live the life of the society that we belong to. So we live the life of the white man. But something in our soul won't let us be at peace. Why? Because God didn't create us to live the life of a white man. God created everybody to live their own life. It doesn't have to be the life or the folk ways of the African people. As long as it's our own, God is with us. As long as it's our own life, Africans who didn't feel welcome in the church with white folks when they were free, they formed their own church. the AME church, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. African Methodist Episcopalian. Now, it showed you that they were searching, aren't they? But they put African first, didn't they? African Methodist Episcopalian. So from what they had available to them, they selected what their souls felt good about. And they formed the church. And they still, today, they have more individuality than other Christians. They made other Christians, Catholic Christians, Baptists and Presbyterians, African-Americans, they may be more progressive, maybe, but they don't have as much originality as the members of the AME church. They don't. Those people were searching to have themselves established in a life of their own. But they're living in an environment that they have to feed upon, not only physically, but soul-wise. Physically and soul-wise, they have to feed on this new environment. And in this connection, Muhammad the Prophet said, prayers and peace be upon him, every child is born Muslim. That means naturally as God wants you. That's what it means. Born Muslim means born natural, as God wants you. He's the creator of every baby. None of us can create a baby. God is the creator of every baby. So every baby comes here with the soul and the spirit that God wants for it. But Muhammad added, or he continued, I should say, not added, he continued. He said, it is the environment that the child is put in that makes it other than that. So what is he saying then? He's saying if the environment is as God created it, and you know, Islam is the story also of how the environment was changed from the way God made it. Muhammad gave us this story. He said, peace be upon Muhammad. He said, God wanted to show Jibreel, or Gabriel in the Bible, his creation. And he showed it to him. And when Gabriel saw it, he said, my Lord, how can anyone go wrong in this creation, in this wonderful creation? And then God, within an instance, presented the world as it would be seen under the devil's influence. And the same angel said, Gabriel, Jibreel, he said, my Lord, how can anyone go right in such a world? And Allah revealed in the Quran that Satan came and decorated the world with allurements, things to attract you away from the original nature. So that Satan did that. So if we should then follow the logic through to the end, to the conclusion. If the world had not been changed or altered by the Satan, the Shaitan, the enemy of man, man's purpose, the enemy of man's purpose under God. If that had not been changed, then every child born in the original creation would be born Muslim and have a chance to develop as a Muslim. To develop as a Muslim. Yes. So what does God mean when he says, Deen al-fitratu allati fatra an-nasa alayha? That Islam is the religion of origin. The pattern upon which he fashioned civilized societies. Or the pattern upon which civilized people or societies were formed. If any people have formed a civilized order to survive corruption and ignorance, they didn't do it by themselves. It was revealed to them. Or they inherited it from parents that kept their original purity and excellence. There is a saying, Only the educated are free. Now we know there are many educated, not only educated, there are many people with doctorate degrees, more than one, and they're not free. They're slaves to alcohol, they're slaves to gambling, they're slaves to perverted sex, so they're not necessarily free. And they're slaves to another man, got all those degrees, but will lick boots and booty to keep having it easy with another master. I'm speaking like that because there's one or two of you out there in the audience right now. Strongly believe with all my life, with all my soul and spirit, I strongly believe this, because I'm trying to understand. I've been this way all my life, ever since I was a little boy. I can never recall a time when I did not have a spirit in me to understand the world and what's happening in my life. God bless me to be a creation like that. Yes. So I'm going to go back to what I said. We, as a people, we have a chance to have our life all over again, to have a new life. I believe that the strange thing that had happened to bring us to the Quran and Muhammad, Mr. Farah and all his strange teachings, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the fiery preacher, denouncing the white world, telling us we have been chosen and we are the original people. We are the ones who have divinity, our holiness and righteousness and godliness, and the white man does not. All of that strange teaching, that's not a truth, because the truth is true yesterday and today. It wasn't a truth, but it was relevant. Because at that time, the white man was behaving as a devil. His nation was behaving as a devil.
Right.
His nation, the United States, was behaving as a devil. In the international world, and also in our life. Okay. So in that space of time, it was justified to call a white man a race of devils.
That's right.
To call his nation a nation doomed for destruction. It was justified. And the teacher who came, he didn't give us Islam. But he quietly and secretly made a distinguish between the Quran and what he was teaching. And he distinguished between Islam and what he was teaching. And he even told my father, according to my father's own words, he said, don't worry so much about teaching and the Quran. Someone will come later and do that. And he told them that Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us. Not he told them. Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us. He said, I'm not teaching you religion so much. He said, I'm trying to pull you out of the fire. These are the exact words of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Yes.
So if we accept this, and if we accept what the Quran say about the wise man, now listen please. That was a wise man. And that wise man was doing things that looked wrong. Cause a little child to get killed. Destroyed the boat of people. People had to use that boat. He destroyed it. He's a sign of the ways of God. That's not a real person.
Right.
That's telling us the story of the ways of God. Yeah, you see a child murdered or killed. Perhaps God wanted that to happen. To save that child from a worse fate down the road. Something was going to happen that would be very terrible for the child, perhaps. Or to save the parents from misery, good parents This is a story from misery that that child's gonna put into their life. And the bowl's gonna be used by bad people. So if we understand and accept that logic in the Quran, how come we can't understand the logic that a man comes over with good intention and he does things that look wrong? But the overall result is Elijah Muhammad holding and being faithful to the throne and pointing to his son. And now the result is that what he promised us have come true. He said, study these problems. The neatest and best worker will get so much in gold. A family Quran, big Quran. So he promised us gold, and he promised us a big Quran, didn't he? There were plenty of Qurans. He didn't mean the book, the physical book. When you have the Quran and you understand it, now you have a Quran. But if you just got paper, you got paper.
Yes, sir, please.
We had plenty of paper before the Honorable Elijah Muhammad left us.
Yes, sir.
But Allah blessed the son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to have the Quran and teach it to the rest. So his promise came true. I'm showing you God in everything that happened to us. Okay? God is making a new people. God is making a new people. But I won't go any further with that. That's far enough with that part. Let me bring it to the conclusion so I can continue my subject. Why have not we been able, after all these years from slavery, and these many years now, free of slave masters, and enjoying the same protection of the law that other people enjoy? Yes, we do. Some of you may say we don't, but we do. I know the rich have it a little easier because they have money. But we have problems not because we're black, it's because we don't have enough money to defend ourselves in court. Maybe that's the problem. So maybe we should be fighting class discrimination instead of color discrimination. But other people suffer that too, not just us. Africans and others that come here, they're not all accepted, and they're not all rich enough to defend their case in court like the rich. No, and many whites can't do it either. Yeah, but there's something else wrong with us. There's more wrong with us than is wrong with any other people. Why, after all these years, that we still don't have any respect as a people, managing our neighborhoods, supporting each other in community, our neighborhoods, like Polish people, like Irish people, like Jewish people, like Italian people, like African people, like Sudanese, like Sinhalese, even like the Haitians who come here.
Right.
Haitian go to store and buy from a Haitian. Mexican go to store and buy from a Mexican. All these people do that, but us. You know what a very popular African-American leader told me, Christian leader told me? He said, Wallace, he calls me Wallace because we're that close, we're friends. He said, Wallace, and this is a big man. He said, Wallace, I don't call him Jesse though. He calls me Wallace, I don't say Jesse. I said, well, Jesse, no. My mother raised me. She did a good job. Not that his mother did a bad job. That's okay. He's cool. But I'm obedient nature. So he told me, he said, we're waiting on you all. What do you suppose he's telling me? But your father produced, convinced us, that you all are going to make changes in these neighborhoods. Yes, please. Yes, do. A lot of white fun. Now, my belief is this. That when God wills a thing for a people, nothing can change it. Nothing can change it. Reverend Jackson, he makes a point of hearing most of what I say. Believe me, he finds a way to get what I say. And not only Reverend Jackson, a lot of other African American reverends too. So he'll get this most likely. He gets it when I don't mention his name, so I'm really gonna get this quick. Might be overnight into it. He can hear this, and he usually take what he likes or take what he thinks gonna work. And because he's so popular, he takes it out there first. I'm preaching in a small circle, in a small group. It doesn't reach the press. But when Jesse Jackson says it, it reaches the press. But right now, the press seem like they kind of quiet on him. So it may not work for him now. But anyway, he could take what I'm saying to you and respond to it, and respond to it, and go and organize to beat us, to be the first to revive the African-American neighborhood economically, business-wise. He could do that. My belief is that he can't do it. He can try, but my belief is that he will fail. Because God intervened in our lives in a very strange way. He chose us for all the rest. Yes, that's my strong belief, that Allah has chosen us, the followers of Elijah Muhammad. He's chosen us for all, for the benefit of all the rest. Not only the blacks, but what we are going to achieve is going to strengthen faith in people everywhere on this earth. They're going to see a modern day miracle. Look at the strange way that these people have come about their present idea of life and society. It's a sign of God. Nothing could have made this happen in this way except God. The wise among them are going to come to see that, and it's going to affect faith in the hearts and souls of people throughout the world. Many people become believers again in God, or become faithful to their religions again because of what they're going to see in America. And it's not something that's not already developing. What we have achieved so far is convincing enough. And believe me, it's touching the lives of many wise people right now who know what happened to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and know how I came into the leadership and know how I'm leading people now and how you all are supporting my directions. They know that, and they're already being touched, and they're already saying God is there. God is there with them. Believe me. So we're becoming a new people. As I told you when I was a young minister for the Army Elijah Muhammad, I believe that we were no more the same people. We were no more people. We had lost our life as a people. As individuals, yes. But as a people, no. A people, when a people are alive, it's seen in their neighborhoods. It's seen in where they behave, how, in the way they behave collectively. So we lost that deep life as a people, only having life as individual souls. And God has given us the life back, the life of the people. He created everybody to be a people, not just individuals with souls, but a people thriving upon the earth as communities. And he says, even that animals, there's no living thing he made that he didn't make for community life. That all these little animals crawling and moving upon the earth, so they have their of communities similar to yours. Meaning, they have leadership, they have to hunt for their needs, they have to store their food to go through the winter. They have to care for their females and respect life. They have to care for their young and respect life. So they have the same essential sensitivities.